from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by news from across Indonesia. Today in history, My Indonesia, news in brief. We continue Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we present you Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. President Joko Widodo calling for ulamas and ustads to practice Pancasila. House Speaker Bambang Susatyo affirmed leaders' behavior must reflect Pancasila. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo calls for all components of the nation to practice Indonesian state philosophy Pancasila in the daily life. He affirmed that Pancasila imposes joint commitment to understand, deepen, and practice the noble values of Pancasila as the basic principle of Indonesian society, nation, and state. The statement was affirmed by President Joko Widodo in his speech at the inspector of the birthday ceremony of Pancasila at Pancasila Building in Jakarta on Friday.
Pada kesempatan yang mulia ini, saya ingin mengajak para ulama dan tokoh-tokoh agama, para guru.
On this noble occasion, I would like to call for scholars, religious leaders, teachers, and clergy, politicians, government apparatus members of Indonesian armed forces, TNI, and the National Police Polri, workers and economic actors, and all components of the nation to jointly practice Pancasila in our daily life. President Joko Widodo perceived that the united spirit of sharing and achievement will reinforce the step taken in bringing Indonesia to a developed and prosperous country. He also remarked that every country in the world will always proceed in the plural and diverse society. He added that it's time to share experience in unity, in diversity, in tolerance, and in building unity and togetherness. President Joko Widodo reminded that the anniversary of Pancasila birthday on April June 1st should be used as a moment of reminder, accelerators, and implementation of Pancasila values. Speaker of the House of the Representatives DPR Bambang Susatyo affirmed that the attitude and behavior of Indonesian leaders, prominent figures, and all Indonesians should reflect all five principles in Pancasila. This was expressed by Speaker Bambang Susatyo after attending the ceremony of birthday of Pancasila in Jakarta on Friday. At the commemoration ceremony of Pancasila birthday on June 1st, centered at Pancasila Building in Jakarta, the commemoration was led by President Joko Widodo, acting as a ceremonial inspector. Speaker Bambang served as a reader of the text of the preamble of the 1945 Constitution. Chairman of People's Consular Assembly, MPR Zulkifli Hasan, served as a reader of text on Pancasila. And Minister of Religious Lukman Hakim Saipudin served as the leader of prayer. Bambang Susatyo said the noble values of Pancasila became the glue of diversity of Indonesians so that it becomes one in the brand of unitary state of Republic of Indonesia. Those key figures who were present at the ceremony were Vice President Yusuf Kalla, Vice President Megawati Soekarnoputri, 6 Vice President Tri Sutrisno, and 11 Vice President Budiano, and the leaders of state high institutions and other agencies. Chairman of the United Development Party PPP, Muhammad Romam Hurmusi alias Romi, said in his written statement as quoted by Antar News Agency in Jakarta on Friday that the values of Pancasila should serve as a draught of intolerance, radicalism, and liberalism. He stated that the values of Pancasila should be used as a guide and practice in everyday life. Romi feels that Pancasila is unifying diversity that has existed in Indonesian nation. As a unifying tool, Pancasila is the meeting point of all religion, tribes, and classes. In the 1945 Constitution, Romi added that Pancasila should serve as a benchmark for all derivatives of the Constitution. This is important according to the number of laws or articles in the law that was cancelled by the Constitutional Court because it is considered contradictory to the 1945 Constitution, which automatically contradicts Pancasila. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Information technology becomes the main tool used by terrorists in disseminating the ideas of radicalism in the international world. To anticipate this, Indonesia must improve the supervision through cybersecurity, so the radical understanding that can damage the generation of the nation can be prevented. This was affirmed by Head National in Cyber and Cyber Agency BSSN Joko Setiadi in the dialogue on terrorism at Habibie Center in Jakarta on Thursday.
Penyebaran paham radikalisme tidak terlepas.
The spread of radicalism is inseparable from the current use of information and communication technology. Sympathizers of radicalism are aware of the security of their communication by utilizing cryptography of the threat of radicalism. Some countries have imposed a policy of restricting access to information to their citizens. Indonesia, as a country experiencing this threat, must prevent the spread of radical understanding in the cyberspace. Joko Setiadi further said that in the spread of radicalism, the sympathizer also take advantage of social media and online media such as groups on Facebook, Telegram, WhatsApp, and others through photos or video action of radicalism. He added that his site keeps monitoring the movement of radicalism in Indonesia, so that their existence can be known. Dr. Laksana Trihandoko has been chosen and inaugurated to be chairman of Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, replacing acting chairman of LIPI Bambang Subianto. The inauguration was done by Minister of Research, Technology and High Education Muhammad Nasir at Auditorium LIPI in Jakarta on Tuesday afternoon. After the inauguration, Trihandoko to media said that LIPI targets to increase 3,000 professional researchers in the next few years.
Total 5,000, tapi 3,000.
There are 5,000 people, but there must be 3,000 researchers. Maybe this can be achieved in the next 4 or 5 years. We do not care whatever they are, but they must be qualified at least a strata 2 degree. But we prefer that they are strata 3 degree, including diasporans. Trihandoko also explained that there are several priorities done by LIPI, such as continuing the research management of LIPI by following the LIPI's norms and global standardization, speeding up the increasing capacity and competency of research through human resource improvement, and boosting the role of LIPI as provider of suprastructure as well as soft and hardware of national research. Bali exported most non-knit apparel to the United States of America, reaching 24.45% of its total foreign exchange, amounting to $8.95 million during March 2018. Head of the Central Bureau of Statistics of Bali, Adi Nugroho, said in Denpasar, Bali on Friday that Bali's apparel products produced by Balinese skilled crafters were exported to France about 11.50%. Singapore 10.41%. They also said that Australia market was 9.55%, Hong Kong 7.97%, Spain 5.32%, Germany 4.43%, China 0.27%, Japan 2.11%, and Germany 1.97%. The remaining 22.26% was absorbed by various other countries in the world because the clothes made by Balinese people have unique and interesting design and are more combined with beats and affordable prices. The last item, the rupiah rose 97 points to close at 13,896 rupiah per dollar in Jakarta Interbank Market on Tuesday evening after it traded at 13,993 rupiah earlier. Market analyst Odd Binaarta Sukritas, Navan Aji Gusta said the deposited domestic sentiment influenced the rupiah's appreciation. He explained that market agents have lauded Bank Indonesia's step to raise a 7-day reserve repo rate by a total of 50 basis points this month. Today, Bank Indonesia's step is considered quite proper. He also pointed out that the global conditions have also become increasingly conducive so that there is no pressure on the rupiah. He noted that political crisis in Italy has begun to ease now. Meanwhile, sentiment on the Fed rate hike has also shown signs of somewhat lessening, although it is predicted to increase next month. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
From across the country, unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across the country, a segment that presents interesting information from across Indonesia in a week. The first news comes from Yogyakarta. The Land Transport Organization of Yogyakarta Special Region is preparing 850 fleet reserves to anticipate passenger surge during homecoming flow and Lebaran holiday 2018. The head of Yogyakarta Land Transportation Organization, Agus Adrianto, said last week that as many as 850 fleet reserves are entirely tourist buses, since the number of regular interprovincial intercity buses used for Lebaran holiday transportation from Yogyakarta is limited. The reserve buses are intended for all directions. Most dominant destinations of Lebaran homecoming and returning flow is not much different from previous years, namely Central Java and Jakarta. He said currently there are 440 inter-provinces buses available, while the active intercity buses within the province are 450 units. Meanwhile, head of Department of Transportation Yogyakarta, Sigit Saptoraharjo, said to reduce the number of travelers who use motorbikes or motorcycles, Ministry of Transportation has set up 15 buses for Lebaran 2018 holiday program for travelers from Jakarta to Yogyakarta. In addition to providing the buses, the Ministry of Transportation is also preparing 10 trucks to transport travelers' motorcycles for free. The next news comes from Sabang, Aceh Province. Member of House of Representatives Commission 6, Fadlullah, on Wednesday, May the 30th, asked Sabang Area Enterprise Agency to increase investment from the private sector to optimize Sabang as a center of economic growth in Aceh Province. The statement was conveyed to encourage increased investment in Aceh from the private sector so that the acceleration of Aceh's economic growth, starting from Sabang in particular, can be realized. Fadlullah explained that Sabang has big investment potential to be developed, such as tourism sector. Tourism is one of the economic potentials capable of providing great foreign exchange for the country and a positive impact for other sectors. He added that as an institution authorized to manage the Sabang area, the agency must create investors interested in investing in Sabang, especially by providing services and convenience of every cruise ship to Sabang. The latest news comes from Jambi. Mong Bante Tanavaro Tera, as Chairman 1 of Sangha Agung Indonesia Buddhist organization conveyed a number of messages in the celebration of Vesak 2018 in Sumatra, held at Muaro Jambi Temple Complex, Muaro Jambi Regency, Jambi Province on Tuesday, May the 29th. The Vesak celebration was attended by Buddhists, local officials, and communities in Jambi Province. Mong Bante Tanavaro Tera advised the people of Indonesia to understand the pluralism and to preserve the reality of the wealth of the nation that is living side by side in harmony. In addition, they must continue to strengthen the harmony of fellow human beings in the frame of diversity. In the Vesak celebration, the committee also prepared takjil to break the fast for the Muslim community in Indonesia who are fasting. The celebration was also attended by Governor of Jambi Fahrori Umar and Muaro Jambi Region Masnah Bushro. The peak of the Vesak celebration was followed by 1,000 Buddhists as well as 100 Buddhist monks who came from a number of regions and even from several countries in Southeast Asia. Well, that was news from across the country over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well listener, we start Pranipan on June 2, 1942 when Nazi controlled Libya. On June 2, 1942, Marshal Erwin Rommel, a commander of specialist of strategy of mass anti-attack operation from Germany, began his operation in the north of Africa. Early British soldiers have attacked Libya territory and succeeded to take it away from Nazi Germany. But through the operation, German soldiers were not only able to take over Libya, they were also able to conquer other regions surrounding Libya such as Al-Imeid and city of Iskandaria port in Egypt. The victory made Allied forces to be worried, which was predicted to be able to occupy Suez Canal. Thus, Britain mobilized all of its power to the region, and finally, in November, British soldiers succeeded again to hit back German soldiers. The next event is that in 1967, protests in the Western Berlin confront Shah Iran Speci chain to be riot. Ben Oneshort was killed by police. Ben Oneshort is a German student who was killed by police on June 2, 1967 in a demonstration in Berlin to confront the Bishop of Shah Iran, Muhammad Reza Pahlavi, to Germany. His death caused radicalization group of June 2 movement. A monument to remember the death of Oneshort was established in Berlin and in his hometown in Hanover. A bridge which crosses Imer River called Ben Oneshort as Hanor Im. And the last event is that in 1986, Slamet Mulyana passed away. Professor Dr. Raden Benedictus Slamet Mulyana, who passed away in Jakarta on June 2, 1986, is an Indonesian biologist and historian. He obtained his title from University of Leuven, Belgium in 1954 and has become professor at University of Indonesia since 1958. Slamet Mulyana has taught at Gajah Mada University, Information Academy, and Journalist Academy. Besides, he also taught overseas, among others, Wolfgang Goethe Universität Frankfurt, Germany, State University of New York, Albany, the United States of America, and Nanyang University of Singapore. In addition, Slamet officiated as Director of Institute for Language and Culture in Singapore, also became member of a board of curators at Institute of Southeast Asian Studies in Singapore. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia, which today is on increased Bank Indonesia's interest rate appropriate. In the past 2 weeks, Bank Indonesia, BI, twice raised its benchmark interest rate by 0.25%. In the Board of Governors meeting of Bank Indonesia on May the 13th, BI's benchmark interest rate was decided to rise to 4.75%. In the meeting, BI also raised the interest rate of bank deposits in BI in the form of rupiah by 25 basis points to 4%. The decision means changing the policy stance of the central bank from neutral to tight bias. The change in policy stance was taken in response to changes in global economic conditions triggered by the move by the U.S. central bank to raise its benchmark interest rate until the end of this year. Following the announcement of Bank Indonesia, the rupiah exchange rate traded between banks in Jakarta yesterday afternoon moved slightly higher by 2 points per U.S. dollars. Quoting a report by Antara News Agency on Wednesday, the Director of Asia and Pacific Department of the International Monetary Fund, Chang Yong Rei, said that the rate hike by Bank Indonesia is the right decision to anticipate risk. Ray said the decision to raise the benchmark interest rate to 50 basis points from 4.25% to 4.75% was a response to maintain the possibility of a rise in core inflation from the strengthening of the U.S. dollar, the benchmark interest rate at global level, and world oil prices. These external pressures has led to a reversal of capital outflows and currency weakness in many developing countries, including Indonesia, in recent weeks. According to Chang Yong Rei, although the situation requires overall oversight, Indonesia has been in a stronger position than in the past in the face of external pressure because it has got economic resilience. Well, that was my Indonesia today. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo calls for all components of the nation to practice Indonesian state philosophy Pancasila in the daily life. He affirmed that Pancasila imposes joint commitment to understand, even and practice the noble values of Pancasila as the basic principle of Indonesian society, nation, and state. Speaker of the House of the Representatives DPR Bambang Susatyo affirmed that the attitude and behavior of Indonesian leaders, prominent figures, and all Indonesians should reflect all five principles in Pancasila. This was expressed by Speaker Bambang Susatyo after attending the ceremony of birthday of Pancasila in Jakarta on Friday. Chairman of the United Development Party (PPP) Muhammad Romam Hurmusi alias Romi said in his written statement as quoted by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday that the values of Pancasila subserve as a trap of intolerance, radicalism, and liberalism. Information technology becomes the main tool used by terrorists in disseminating the ideas of radicalism in international world. To anticipate this, Indonesia must improve the supervision through cybersecurity, so the radical understanding that can manage damage the generation of the nation can be prevented. This was penned by Head National in Cyber and Cyber Agency BSSN Joko Setiadi in the dialogue on terrorism at Habibie Center in Jakarta on Thursday. Dr. Laksana Trihandoko has been chosen and inaugurated to be chairman of Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, replacing acting chairman of LIPI, Bambang Supiyanto. The inauguration was done by Minister of Research, Technology and High Education Muhammad Nasir at Auditorium LIPI in Jakarta on Tuesday afternoon. Bali exported most non-knit apparel to the United States of America, reaching 24.45% of its total foreign exchange, amounting to $8.95 million during March 2018. The rupiah rose 97 points to close at the 13,893.94 96 rupiah per dollar in the Jakarta Interbank Market on Tuesday evening, after it traded at 13,993 rupiah earlier. Market analyst Otobina Arta Sukritas Napan Aji Gusta said the deposited domestic sentiment influenced the rupiah's appreciation. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 95.5 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of traditions from Banyuwangi Regency. Stay tuned. Listener, Osing people of Kemiren Village, Glagah District, Banyuwangi Regency, East Java, has unique tradition, so-called Barong Ider Bumi. The tradition is routinely held on the second day of Idul Fitri, or second Shawwal of Islamic calendar, because number two has its own meaning for Osing people. Kemiren people always associate the tradition with thing which is in a pair, such as heaven and hell, men and women, day and night. Besides, some traditions of Kemiren villagers are often held on Tuesday and Thursday. Listener, Barong Ider Bumi tradition is traditional ritual. The ritual is clean ceremony of the village. Usually, the ceremony begins at 2 o'clock p.m. Osing people are taboo to conduct the tradition beyond the time, because beyond the specified time, it is believed to bring about disaster to the community. Listener, Barong is a kind of custom with mask and accessories as depictions of frightening animal. In mythology of Osing people, Barong is believed as symbol of kindness, which has ability to cast out bad evils. Osing people believe that by conducting Barong Ider Bumi tradition, a year life will make happy. The ceremony is held as form of gratitude to the Almighty on His blessing to give peace and prosperity to villagers. In addition, Barong Ider Bumi tradition is believed to be able to drive away disaster or bad luck. In belief of Osing people, Barong can be possessed by the soul of ancestor. Listener, the word of Ider Bumi is compound words, namely Ider and Bumi. Ider means to go around and Bumi means earth. So, the two words mean an event of going around the earth. In accordance with its name, the point of Barong Ider Bumi ritual is to parade Barong going around the village. Before Barong is paraded, the village elders play angklung at village's hall to begin the ritual. Afterwards, all Kemiren villagers come out from the houses, and then they begin to parade Barong Osing from the entrance gate of the village to the exit gate of the village. Along the parade, traditional figures spread coins, yellow rice, and flour to the street, and these are seized by kids. The ritual is named Sembur Utik Utik. Thank you. listener, during Barong Osing Parade, those barongs are also followed by the elders who walk side by side while carrying incense and reading prayer for security of all villagers. The parade is accompanied by Osing traditional music. At the end of the village, the villagers and the barong players seize bananas which are displayed. They believe if they eat the bananas, they will be safe and to be given simplicity in their life. After conducting the ritual, the villagers hold ceremony as closing. It is the peak of the event ceremony by using tumpeng pecel pitik, namely kampung chicken, which is roasted and sprinkled with grated young coconut and ingredients. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Barong Ider Bumi from Kemiren Village, Banyuwangi. Thank you for listening. Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, custom and tradition, environment and technology, even lifestyle. Today, the topic is Sukarno Month in Ende, East Nusa Tenggara. Ende City on the island of Flores, East Nusa Tenggara province, is where Sukarno, Indonesia's first president, was banished by the Dutch colonial government for 4 years. Sukarno arrived in Ende in February 1934 on board of Jan van Riebeeck and left the city in February 1938 using the Klerk, a ship belonging to KPM, to Surabaya. Flores itself is a small island in Sunda Kecil periphery, which only attracted the attention of the Dutch East Indies government in the early second decade of the 20th century. Thus, Ende was intended as a place that could isolate Sukarno, keep him from his political activities and from his comrades in Jawa Island. His presence in this small town and his good relationship with Catholic missionaries to some extent has brought the history of Indonesia's independence movement into the history of the island's Catholic Church. On the contrary, the presence of a national figure with an unrivaled reputation at that time has brought Ende, Flores, and church history on the island into small chapters or footnotes in Indonesia's national history. In addition to historical reasons, according to the head of the East Nusa Tenggara Tourism Office, Marius Ardu Jelamu, the fact that June the 1st is the birthday of Pancasila, June the 6th, the day of Sukarno's birth, and June the 21st, the day of Sukarno's death, are why the month of June is set as the month of Sukarno. He explained a number of collective activities between agencies will be held during the month of Sukarno in Ende, starting from tree planting, trivia contest, wage and anti-narcotic socialization, tracking race to anti-drug activist training. Besides the East Nusa Tenggara Provincial Tourism Office in collaboration with Ende Regency Government are also holding two activities in May and June 2018, namely the National Champ Parade and Soekarno Month Festivals. The parade was held on May the 20th until 31st and the peak was on June the 1st, 2018, while Soekarno Month is being held from June the 1st until 21st. The Soekarno Month series of activities in Ende further highlight the nuances of national tourism, especially on the history of the life of Soekarno during his exile in Ende. Head of Tourism Office of East Nusa Tenggara, Marius Ardu Jelamu, explained Soekarno Month held from June the 1st until 21st wants to reflect Bung Karno's, as Soekarno's often called, journey, who proclaimed and unearthed Pancasila, the national philosophy and ideology. This is displayed in the form of a diorama scene of Indonesia's first president journey during his exile in Ende in 1934 to 1938. Soekarno Month is also colored with various tourism activities that have begun on May the 24th with the Archipelago Intercultural Performance and an inter-ethnic choir competition. There is also a photography competition, cultural expo, sailboat race, trekking on Meja Mountain, fun cycling around the city of Ende and surrounding tourist destination. Marius added that Soekarno Month Festival is held annually in Ende, especially in June, since this activity was declared in 2016. Well, that was Miscellany over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta featuring Soekarno Month in Ende, East Nusa Tenggara. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Putri, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you some Ramadan songs. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Ibadah Yo by Ben Gigi. Enjoy the song!
Segala cara, kadang sadar, kadang enggak, bikin jadi sengsara. Mau bagus cari hancur, malah aut-autan. Minta diberi hati, minta diberi jantung, minta diberi harta. Keadaannya
minta ini, minta itu dengan segala cara. Kadang sadar, kadang enggak, bikin jadi sengsara. Mau bagus jadi hancur, malah aut-autan. Minta diberi hati, minta diberi jantung, minta diberi harta.
Listener, you've just listened to the first song entitled Ibadah Yo, sung by Gigi. Although in rock genre, the song Ibadah Yo is still thick on invitation for Muslims to worship. Its lyric describes human with endless desire, the consequently, life becomes misery. To avoid from misery life, worship becomes solution. The next song entitled Lima Waktu by Yuni Shara also invites Muslims to do worship 5 times a day. The song, which was released in 2004, describes how the God really loves his followers. Although the great blessing which has been given by him and he is so noble, the God only asks human beings to have 5 times a day to worship. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Lima Waktu by Yuni Shara. Enjoy the song.
Para yang maha kuasa, Dia membimbing kita, Dia menuntun kita, Dia mendengar segala keluh kita. Dialah yang termulia, Dialah yang terindah, Dia hanya meminta 5 saat. Jalan hidupku, ku yakini dan ku percaya atas segala kebesaran-Mu Tuhan. Dia membimbing kita, Dia menuntun kita, Dia mendengar segala keluh kita. Saat dari kita
Listener, we will present the next song entitled Ramadan Datang by Tompi. Ramadan Datang is hit single of Tompi, which is taken from the album entitled Soulful Ramadan, released in 2006. Its lyric and arrangement, which is full of joy, makes the song be often played at electronic media and shopping center when Ramadan comes. The last song is from Titi Kamal, singer and also actress. She will sing a song entitled Berserah. The song can be said similar prayer because its lyric contains of request for guidance and protection from the God and the expression of surrender to the power of God. To conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Ramadan Datang by Tompi and Berserah by Titi Kamal. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Ramadan datang, alam pun riang, menyambut bulan yang berkah. Umat berdendang, kumandang azan, pertanda hati yang senang. Oh, hati yang gembira. Oh, penuh suka.
Indonesia.
Today's sound.
Kebesaran-Mu ya Allah,
kasih sayang dan rahmatmu dalam sadarku terlupa mengucap syukur dalam sujudku berdoa dalam tangisku menyesal astaghfirullah bukalah pintu taubatmu. Ajal menjemputku, mungkin esok hanya kau yang tahu. Mungkin usiaku tak cukup lagi untuk hapuskan segala dosaku. Kebesaranmu ya sayang dan rahmatmu dalam sadarku terlupa mengucap syukur dalam sujudku berdoa dalam tangisku menyesal astaghfirullah bukalah pintu taubatmu. Aku hina dan tak pantas.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.